Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy, and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. This is the word of the Lord. The Epistle of James is known for works. When the church thinks of James, the church thinks of works. For those who celebrate the letter of James, and for those like Martin Luther who critique it, it's about the works. When it comes to James, you can't get away from the works. Hear these words from James: every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above. Be doers of the word, not merely hearers. Those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What good is it to say, if you say that you have faith but do not have works? Mercy triumphs over judgment. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. That's all James on works. If there's a takeaway from James, it's the works. So much on works that it's way too easy to miss the wisdom. Don't forget about the letter of James and wisdom, the wisdom from above. The works come from the wisdom. Wisdom from above leads to works. Any critique of James centers on the contrast with one of the essential tenets of the Reformed faith, that one is saved not by works, but by grace through faith. You can't earn your salvation. It is a gift of God. The caution to James is what the theological tradition labels works righteousness, righteousness earned by works. There is righteousness, all right, in James, but it is not works righteousness. It is works of righteousness. Listen again to the text from James. Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. the wisdom from above. For James, the wisdom from above leads to the harvest of righteousness. And there's no shortage of the image of use of the word harvest throughout Scripture. Think Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Think Jesus in his parable of the weeds and the wheat, or the parable of the vineyard, or a couple other parables. Think the book of Ruth and Ruth gleaning from the edges of the field during the harvest. The prophet Jeremiah refers to the people of Israel as God's first harvest. Harvest runs all through the pages of Scripture. But James has a different take on the harvest. The harvest of righteousness. In James, the Greek word translated as harvest is different from the word found in the Gospels. The word used in James is the word for fruit. Here in James, the harvest of righteousness is the harvest is the fruit of righteousness. The harvest of righteousness is the fruit of righteousness. The only other time the phrase harvest of righteousness appears in the New Testament is in Philippians. This is my prayer, Paul writes, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the praise and glory of God. Like James, the Greek word in Philippians is the word for fruit, the fruit of righteousness. Fruit, like in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit, like Ephesians, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Fruit, like John 15, when Jesus said, I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. For James, the wisdom from above leads to the fruit of righteousness. And righteousness, well, all through Scripture, righteousness is righteousness. A reference to what God requires. Righteousness has to do with the godly work of righting what has been wrong, that the kingdom here on earth might nearly be as it is in heaven. Righteousness, not just our righteousness, thank God, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ working in and through us and among us. Righteousness in the Bible is a synonym for justice. The fruit of justice is sown in peace by those who make peace. And for James, the harvest comes one fruit at a time. It comes with a wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. It is the Jewish Center of Princeton sponsoring the Sukkah Village project that Lauren mentioned. And they are doing it in conjunction with the celebration of the Jewish holiday of Sukkot. And there will be sukkahs like the one in the front lawn being built all over town and there for a week or so, maybe 10 days. And it was an idea that Rabbi Feldman had before he tragically died Christmas Eve almost 2 years ago. And the Jewish Center is carrying out that idea in his memory. Each sukkah will be auctioned off, with the money then going to the various nonprofits that Lauren mentioned as well. Of the many things Sukkot means in the Jewish faith, one of them I remember learning from Rabbi Feldman when our family joined his family in their family sukkah in their backyard. It is that it's a time for the Jewish people to remember that they were once refugees. Thus, the temporary shelter of a sukkah built outside their homes. The organizers of the village project asked several clergy in town to write short devotionals that can be accessed on smartphones at each sukkah in the village by scanning the code. And I wrote the brief devotion that will appear at the one that is out front. And I wrote my brief devotion about the history of refugee resettlement at Nassau Church that goes back now, I think, a bit more than 50 years. And how appropriate it is for our congregation to be preparing to receive another family during the celebration of Sukkot. 15 families from 11 different countries. Soon it seems 16 families from 12 different countries. It averages out to one family every 5 years. One family. One. I've told you before, and I won't ever forget the story from years ago now, when two of our members had been invited to another Presbyterian church to talk about Nassau's immigrant and refugee work over the years. And at one point, one of the members of that congregation they were visiting raised a hand and asked a question and expressed a concern of how you could justify the time and the effort and the money for just one person or one family at a time. And one of the guests from Nassau responded that morning by describing the incredible impact in their own life of what a particular relationship with an immigrant who'd been freed from detention, what that relationship meant to them, a relationship that still exists today. "I wouldn't have it any other way," was the general theme of the answer. Is there any other way to do it? To live the gospel, to harvest righteousness, is there any other way other than one person, one piece of fruit at a time? The fruit of righteousness? And there's nothing low-hanging about it, because that would mean it was easy, and it's not. And the harvest of righteousness comes one piece of fruit at a time. And these days, and in our world that can be so paralyzing when it comes when to know where to start or what to do or how to make a difference with so much going on in the world, James offers something of an unrelenting reminder, a bit of a jab of the elbow in the ribs, that when it comes to the harvest of righteousness, every bit counts, every effort counts, every fruit counts. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the harvest, the fruit of righteousness, is sown in peace for those who make peace. In the wonder of God's love and in the grace of Jesus Christ, when it comes to James on wisdom, the wisdom from above, it's more than a conditional clause, an if-then statement. If you live by the wisdom from above, then you will bear the fruit of righteousness. That might be grammatically correct. But it's so much more than a conditional clause, because it's a promise. When you soak in, take in, immerse yourself in the wisdom from above, God shall take your fruit one by one and multiply it in the kingdom, and there will be this palpable, living, breathing harvest of righteousness. Thanks be to God. Amen.